Well, good evening. I was listening to all these prayers about the problems and sicknesses and illnesses. It's great that we have hope. As the song says, we can have victory in Jesus. And so much of the world is without hope. Tonight I want to talk about fearless faith. And I want to ask a question first. Have any of you in your personal life experienced or seen a real miracle? I want to tell you a little bit. When I was a young boy, growing up in northern Canada, my parents decided to become foster parents. And they were offered a newborn baby boy to raise as a foster child. The nurses at the hospital had named him Peter John. He was just a newborn. Nobody wanted to adopt this young baby boy because he had a severe case of asthma. And the doctors feared that he wouldn't survive until adulthood because of it. Well, shortly thereafter, our family became so in love with this little baby, our parents adopted him. He became my youngest baby brother. And during that time, we used to have missionaries, two missionary couples, who would stop at our house for several days as they traveled to and from Alaska to work with the Eskimos. And on one of these trips, the missionaries, my parents, decided to have a deep down prayer for Peter John, praying that the Lord would heal him of his asthma. You know, I've heard lots of sermons, or a few sermons at that point about faith, but you know, it's something real to see a real faith in action in a prayer. And that drove it home to me. It made it much more real. You know, we've been studying about faith on Wednesday nights as we went through the book of Hebrews. Dan has dealt into great details about faith, and I want to continue on about that particular topic. Because it's really important that we not only have faith, but we see faith in action. Tonight I want to talk out of Matthew chapter 14. The background to where we're going to pick up in the story here happens just after the feeding of the 5,000. That was one of many miracles that occurred on that particular day. So the first thing I want to mention, the first point is having much fear. And we're going to start out here reading in Matthew 14, starting in verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already in a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. You know, I don't know if you caught this in the story right there. The disciples were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. They were going where Jesus told them to go. And yet they found themselves in trouble. Isn't that interesting? And they were fearful. You've got to remember, out of the 12 disciples, at least 4 of them were professional fishermen that had spent most of their life fishing on the Sea of Galilee, and yet they were fearful at this time. You know, we too, in our lives, we're commanded by the Great Commission to go out and be witnesses to all people and make disciples and to do the work that Jesus called us to do. But many times when we're brave enough to do that, we find sometimes opposition in our way as well. You know, we find ourselves sometimes in a storm in life. You know, it could be the winds of secularism coming upon us. You know, if you read the papers, it was so sad today's paper about the Bibles in the school lost their lawsuit. And a church up in the north lost a lawsuit because they would say the Lord's Prayer before their city council meetings. Where winds of secularism comes against us, but the waves of tradition blows against us too, because we've been doing things the same way. But you know, it can sometimes be unnerving, frightening when these things happen, especially when we're doing what we're told to do. The Sea of Galilee itself, it's a very small sea. It's really like a large lake. The Sea of Galilee, if you've looked at the pictures of it, it's only about 14 miles long. And its width of it varies between about 3 miles and 7 miles, so it's really a fairly long, skinny lake. It's got hills on both sides that rise up to about 2,000 feet on each side. The lake itself, the Sea of Galilee, is about 700 feet below sea level, so it's quite low. And surprisingly, the Sea of Galilee is not very deep. The deepest part in the Sea of Galilee is only 150 feet in depth. But because it's lined up so low, and it's between these long and between the hills, when the winds come up, the winds can really blow through that. And in that shallow water, the winds can pick up that water and generate huge waves. And storms can come up quite quickly. It was a dangerous storm. But you know, if you read through the scriptures, you'll find that this wasn't the first time the disciples found themselves in the middle of the Sea of Galilee during a raging storm. In fact, if Matthew chapter 8, it's got another story. They were in the boat crossing the Sea of Galilee when a storm came up. But at that particular time, Jesus was in the boat with them. He was sleeping, but he was in the boat, and they had woke up Jesus, and he calmed the storm. But in this case, Jesus is not there physically in the boat with them. You know, I've already mentioned this. Why were the disciples in this situation in the storm in the middle of the lake? Well, they were there because they were being obedient to what Jesus told them to do. Jesus had sent them out there. And don't you think Jesus knew ahead of time what they were going to be facing when he sent them out there? It didn't surprise Jesus that they ended up in a storm, in the dark, in the middle of the night. But they were there because Jesus had sent them there. You know, we sometimes got this false idea that if we're obedient to Christ and doing what he's saying, everything's going to go right in our life and we won't have any problems. But that's not the case. You find lots of examples in the Bible where it's not. You know, one thing, we live in a fallen world. And because we're in a fallen world, you can see in the news all the time, there's evil things happening to good people and bad people both. You know, but in both times when the disciples found themselves out in the Sea of Galilee in the midst of a storm, we see the same description of them. They were filled with great fear, it describes them as. In fact, the first time when they were out there and Jesus was sleeping and they shook him to wake him, their question was to them, it says, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" You know, they'd been with Jesus, but you know, during the time when these things happen, when you think your life's in danger, suddenly your focus gets changed. You know, it distorts the things there. Instead of asking Jesus for a miracle, they were thinking about their own lives drowning after the boat swamped. And what was Jesus' answer when they woke him up? "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" You know, that happens in our life too. When we get these problems in our life, it's easy to sometimes become fearful that things are going to continue that way. But we have to keep things into perspective. Just as Jesus brought to their attention, he wanted them to really consider, why are they afraid? You know, he's there with them. There's no need to be afraid. And then to remind them that they, don't you have no faith? You know, we need to get our distorted feelings that we have about our situation and change them and focus them on Jesus, who has the answer in our storms. But in this particular case we're reading here in Matthew chapter 14, the disciples found themselves in the middle of a storm. The waves were high, it was dark, the winds were howling, and they were afraid any minute the boat was going to swamp and they were going to drown. And they were found, and they thought they were alone. There was no Jesus in the back of the boat to wake up. But were they really alone? That's the good question. Were they really alone in that boat? Well, Mark, John, and Matthew all tell the same story. So I'm going to read a little piece out of Mark's incidents where Mark recorded the same incident. In Mark chapter 6, verses 46 to 48, it says, "After leaving them, Jesus went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went down to them walking on the lake." You see, the disciples felt they were alone. It was late. It was dark. It was stormy. But we see behind the scenes here, Mark tells us, Jesus was, even though he's praying on the land, he was looking down and he could see them in the boat. He was watching over them. Even though they didn't realize it, he still was. You know, when we have problems in our life, Satan sometimes comes to us and whispers in our ear, you know, things like, where's Jesus in your life? He promised never to leave you or forsake you. So where is Jesus? Well, the answer is, Jesus is still with us, even if we don't sense it at the time. He knows what's going on in our life. You know, another thing I noticed in the story right here, when you read these three accounts, Jesus was up in the mountain praying. The disciples was out in the boat in the lake fighting with their oars against the storm. And Jesus saw them about midnight out there doing it. But if you read on, it says, it was almost dawn before Jesus came walking out in the water to them. He sent them out in the boat just before dusk. And he comes out to meet them in the boat just before dawn. They'd been on the lake maybe up to 12 hours or something. But it was they'd been fighting the storm for at least 4 hours before Jesus came out of there. You know, if you say that, here Jesus was 4 hours late, but he was still on time. It's like the Karen Pack and New River song, 4 days late, but still on time, talking about Lazarus. When Jesus heard Lazarus was sick, he didn't rush out there immediately to heal Lazarus, or even when Lazarus died. He waited 4 days till all hope was gone. The same thing happened here. He waited at least 4 more hours before he went out to the disciples till they thought all hope was gone. They thought they were going to drown, that the storm was going to end their life. And then he shows up. But when they see him coming, they see a figure walking on the water. And it says they were terrified. And some of the recounts there said they were filled with fear and they thought he was a ghost. But Jesus' response was, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. And, you know, that's we need to be that way. When all hope is gone, when we're afraid, we need to realize that Jesus is there. But, you know, having much fear is one thing, we can have it. But, you know, it's even worse sometimes if you have no faith. So having no faith is the second one. Because I want to tell you this when this storm hit, just prior to this had been the feeding of the 5,000 with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But it was only one of many miracles that took place on that day. Jesus had spent the entire day preaching to the crowds, healing the sick. And we don't even know how many. We say feeding of the 5,000, but they only counted the men. But there were women and children there, so the crowd could have been easily 15,000 or more. But you notice, after all these healings Jesus did that day for the sick, and it was getting late, Jesus tells the disciples, you know, it's getting late, the people are tired and hungry. And what was the disciples' answer? You know, they didn't think miracle. They said, Lord, send them off, and they go fend for themselves and find something to eat on their way home. But that wasn't what Jesus thought. Then they encounter a young boy who has a very meager lunch. When Jesus goes to take it to feed, tells them to feed it with it, what's their first thought then? They question how could such a meager quantity of food feed such a huge crowd? Well, you see, instead of anticipating miracles, they were surprised by one. Isn't that same times in our life too, that we're not always expecting a miracle? And sometimes we're surprised when they happen. But God and Jesus is a miracle working God that we serve. And miracles happen all the time. But sometimes we're not anticipating it. We're not expecting it. In fact, just the day before all this happened, Jesus had been traveling town to town. And he went and visited his hometown of Nazareth, where he grew up as a boy. And in Matthew 13:58, it said there that he couldn't do very many miracles in Nazareth because of the people's unbelief. Isn't that sad? He went to his hometown, and because of the people's unbelief, very few miracles occurred. You know, it's better to have a little faith than no faith. You know, we read on the story, and Peter was told by Jesus that he had little faith. But what about the other 11 disciples in the boat? How many of them, when Jesus said, come, how many of them got out of the boat and came to Jesus? Only one had enough faith to step out of the boat, right? The other 11 chose to stay in the boat, even though the boat's rocking in the waves and about to tip over. And you know, sometimes, you know, we as Christians sometimes can be the same way. We choose to follow Christ, or we say we do, but we're afraid to step out of the boat. It's afraid to do anything hard. You know, what's keeping us in the boat while we're not willing to go step out and do more for the Lord? You know, one of the reasons might be complacency. You know, things are just kind of fine the way they are. We're kind of happy the way things are going. We don't want to rock the boat in case that makes things worse. Sometimes it's just our view. You know, we look at things through our physical eyes, what we can see. You know, if you were one of the with the disciples that day in the boat, you'd have looked out there at the water. You saw the storm raging. You didn't know anybody else in the past that ever walked on water before. You knew you were going to sink like a rock if you stepped out. And so with your physical eyes, you say, that's impossible to walk on water. I'm going to stay in the boat where it's safe. But we need to sometimes open our God vision and look at things as God does and look at what God can do. You know, we may think it's impossible, and for us it is, but with God's help, nothing is impossible, reading scriptures. You know, Moses was told to go out there and deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. He thought it was impossible. God had to open up his vision and so that he would go and do it. But sometimes it's pride. We're afraid to go try to do something for the Lord that's hard and difficult for fear we might fail. And then what would people think of us? Because we care more about what people think of us than what we're actually doing for the Lord. Or maybe it's just plain fear that's keeping us. You know, we were afraid to do something, or afraid of failing. I read a quote here someone had written. I don't know who it was for sure. But it said, if you have a preconceived idea that you will fail rather than succeed, then you will succeed in failing and fail in succeeding. Isn't that true? Well, I've talked about having much fear and having no faith. But what about having just a little faith? You know, these disciples, I mentioned that they didn't demonstrate much faith by not getting out of the boat. But they did demonstrate having a little faith because, you know, Jesus had sent them out there to cross the lake. And they got out there, and it wasn't easy. They got out there and a storm broke out as soon as they got in the middle of the lake, and they weren't making any progress. They were bailing the boat and oaring against the storm, trying to stay afloat. But the amazing story in all these different accounts of this storm, there wasn't one mention of the disciples ever considering going back to the shore where they came from. They continued to do what they were told to do, Jesus. They continued to try to make for the other shore, as Jesus told them. You know, in fact, Mark goes right there, talks about they strained at the oars. And the other ones talk about they're afraid of drowning. But they exhibited some faith into following through with what Jesus told them to do without turning back. But you know, you look at a lot of cases of God's people, and I can look at times in my life where things got very difficult, and there was that temptation to go back to where things were before you started, and I admit that there have been times when I have failed that way. In fact, you look at the children of Israel when they did come out of Egypt. Every time when they wandered towards the promised land, they encountered a problem. It says they complained, and their first thing they would tell Moses was, it would have been better if we had stayed in Egypt. That's a sad commentary to them, but it's a sad commentary to many of us as well. When things get rough, we think, it would have been better if I hadn't spoken up, if I hadn't done this for the Lord, because all it did is cause more troubles and more problems in my life. You know, we go down here and reading on here in Matthew 14, going on, starting at verse 28. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? You know, we look a lot about the fact that Jesus, or how Peter got his eyes off Jesus and saw the storm and started to sink. And Jesus had a little faith. But I want to notice one thing there. Peter didn't just immediately jump out of the boat when he recognized Jesus coming to him. You notice there that the first thing he did, he asked Jesus for permission to come out there to him. You know, many Christians have fallen into the trap of just jumping out and trying to do something for the Lord without checking with the Lord to see if that's His will for them to do it, and fail. And we've done that, it's our fault if we fail, not the Lord's fault. But he took the time to ask the Lord, is it your will that I come out there to walk on the water to you? And he waited for the Lord's response. When Jesus said, yes, come, then he immediately came. You know, we need to do the same thing too sometimes, is ask the Lord if it's your will, and then wait for an answer before we embark on certain things. You know, but he, as he stepped out, it says he was walking on the water. He walked towards the Lord. He was doing it until he took his eyes off the Lord and started hearing the wind shriek by his face, watching the waves lap against his feet, and looked at that, and suddenly that seemed to be all he could see. You know, we do the same thing. When we look at if we stare at a problem, the more we look at a problem, the bigger that problem gets in our life. And the more we can't think of anything else but that problem that's just besetting us and causing havoc in our life. But you know what? Our answer there is to get our eyes off the problems in our life and put our eyes on God. Then you get the problem in the proper perspective, because God is bigger than any problem you will ever encounter. You know, David understood that in Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2. He said, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. See, David has set his eyes on the Lord, and that's where we need to be, not on the problems around us. As long as Peter focused on his eyes on Jesus, he could walk on the water. But when he looked at the storm and the waves, he sank. And the devil does the same kind of thing in our life today. He creates chaos in our life, in our homes, in our jobs, in our families, in our schools, or even amongst our friends, by creating kind of a diversion that gets our eyes off the Lord. And we end up focusing on the chaos in our life instead of on Jesus and what he wants us to do. You know, there's an old saying that fear will sink you, but faith will float you. And Peter learned that lesson that day. You know, if we're sinking under a load of adversities in our life, then perhaps we've got our eyes focused on the wrong thing, and we need to redirect where we're putting our attention. You know, when Jesus commands us to do something, we need to obey him. Jesus told Peter to come, and without any question, he came, doing something that he'd never done before. He didn't know anyone that had. But you know, that's what obedience looks like, when we do what the Lord tells us to do without question and do it immediately. You know, we have to inspect our life every once in a while and just ask ourselves, are we doing everything the Lord told us to do, and are we doing it quickly? Or are we dragging our feet or procrastinating? And I admit I'm a great procrastinator. I've got the art down, but I'm working on it, praying the Lord to help me to overcome that. But you know, instead of having much fear, instead of having no faith, and instead of having just little faith, we need to have saving faith. Look at verses 30 and 31. It says, but when he, meaning Peter, saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, but he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You know, it may appear as soon as he started to take his eyes, but he started to sink, that his faith was sinking too. But his faith leads him to do a remarkable thing. You know, we should never give up on Jesus. We need to call on him when we have problems immediately. He immediately turned and called upon Jesus. He didn't try to tread water. He didn't try to quickly run back to the boat. Peter immediately turned to the one person that could save him. He turned to Jesus. That's where our faith should lead us. Even if we've got a little faith, we need to have that faith focused on Jesus. And then Peter didn't have to do anything from that point on. If you read the story there, it said he was sinking, but it said Jesus reached out his hand. He grabbed Peter, lifted him up, raised him right up out of the water. And then if you read the other accounts, Jesus led Peter by the hand back to the boat and safely into the boat. Jesus did it all. All Peter had to do was ask Jesus to save him, and Jesus did it all. You know, sometimes we try to help the Lord too much. We need to turn it over. You know, it was in the midst of a storm when Jesus came to the disciples. You know, he'd sent them out there knowing the storm was going to come. But he wasn't going to leave them out there to fend for themselves. And it's the same for us. When Jesus tells us to go do something and we find ourselves in a storm, but we're still trying to do his will and we face oppositions, he's still watching over us and he's still looking out for us and he won't leave us to fend for ourselves. You know, it's the very same thing the disciples were afraid of and worried of was the waves coming in that was going to swamp their boats and drown them. That those very same waves was what Jesus was walking on top of as he came to them, showing that he was greater than what they were afraid of. You know, and when he came to him, he said, you know, it is I, don't be afraid, take heart. You know, it's kind of saying, don't worry, I'm here to rescue you. Verses 32 to 34 says, and when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. You know, when the storms come in our lives, we too need to be calling upon God. You notice what they did when Jesus saved them? It says, they first of all said, truly you are the Son of God. We need to, and then they said they worshipped him. You know, we need to be thankful when God does these things for us. Don't take it for granted. We need to be counting our blessings. We need to take the time to thank God, thank him for our blessings. You know, in Philippians 4:6, Paul said, do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your petitions to God. You know, we need to be with prayer and thanksgiving. You know, if you have fear, fear is going to either bring unto you or cause you to either have despair or to prayer. You know, what we need to do is we need to choose prayer over despair. God said in Psalms 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. You know, we leave our problems with God. God doesn't need our assistance. You know, Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard which I have entrusted him until that day. You know, Jesus can save us from many things. He saved Peter from drowning. Just think about yourselves. What all things that Jesus saved you from? If nothing else, if you know the Lord, you've been saved from eternity in hell. You've been saved and you can now go to heaven. But he went and foretold the disciples of another storm that was coming, a time of darkness, and when he was talking about his own death to them. But he told them he was the light of the world. We too, you know, have storms ahead of us. We have the Holy Spirit to see us through the storms coming ahead in our life. Well, remember I told you about the missionaries and my parents praying for my little brother who had the severe asthma and he wasn't expected to live many years. Well, in answer to their prayer, he was miraculously healed that night. In fact, the doctors expressed that it was a miracle. They didn't understand how it happened. And he ended up growing up to be well and healthy and with no problems after that. You know, we need to be doing that. We need to have that kind of faith and trusting when we pray, not just saying words, but really believing them. You know, as we face these things, we need to be less like the disciples in the boat. Are we going to decide to stay in the boat and be tossed around by the problems? Are we going to be willing to get out? You know, I read a book that said, you know, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. But you know, if we're in a desperate situation, we're crying for help, we have a place to go. We have a God that hears our prayers, a God that answers. May not answer in our time frame when we want, but it answers in what he thinks is best. You know. And here, the real point of this is, we need great faith and a great God. You know, that great faith is important. But it's important also, where do you put that great faith? It's got to be in a great God. When we were serving in South Asia, we met many Hindus and Muslims and Buddhists that had great faith in their religion. But that great faith was misplaced. We read in the Bible about Elijah when he confronted the 400 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Those 400 prophets of Baal, they had great faith in their idol Baal. And Elijah had great faith in the God of heaven. But But only one God answered with fire from heaven. So it makes a big difference who you have great faith in. You know, and that there's a saying that all roads lead to God. Have you heard that? And that's a true statement. All roads do lead to God. Everybody will one day stand before God at the great white judgment throne. So it doesn't matter how you live your life and what you follow, you're going to end up in God's presence. But it's not true saying that all roads lead to heaven, though. That's the difference. Because when we go meet with God, it says only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be allowed to enter heaven. So it makes a big difference where you put your faith. If you put your faith in Jesus, you know, in that we have a saving faith in God. You know, most of you come Wednesday night, I assume, know the Lord. But if there's anyone that hear my voice that doesn't know for sure that they're going to heaven and have never asked God to forgive them their sins or asked the Lord to be the Lord of their life, I pray that you'll do it tonight. Don't wait. Time is short. You can see that in our world. Time is running out. So, as you go this way, I pray that we'll all seek to have greater faith in God. And we'll seek to do more and trust God for miracles. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you so much, God, how that we can come to you, God, in prayer, believing, God, that you hear our prayers. We're never alone. You know, we in our natural physical eyes, we may feel alone at times. But if we know you as Lord, you're watching over us at all times. You care. You sometimes let us go through some storms so we can build our faith, so we can learn to trust, we can learn that in our own strength we can't do these things, that we need you, God. And I pray, God, for each one of us, God, if we live our lives, may we desire to live closer to you and to have victory in our lives, God, through you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.